Thank you so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the show today by taking a look at the history of Door County, and I think we'll learn how the peninsula got its name and transformed into the tourist destination that it is today. And we have with us Bailey Kepsel. She's the executive director of the Door County Historical Society. The society was established in 1926, has more than 400 members, so they're a real active group, and it's going to be fun talking with her about the society and about Door County itself. So what's your favorite thing to do in Door County? What do you know about its history? Love to have you join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Bailey Kepsel, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
You know what? I saw a piece about you as being named executive director and a little background, and I love the picture, the photo of you, because you were. It looked like you were jumping in the air and you had your arms pointed to the sky, and I thought, now there's a kind of rambunctious person that we need for a historical society.
Yes, yes, that was a lot of fun. We did that in celebration of our lease renewal that we had with the Department of Natural Resources for Eagle Bluff Lighthouse. So that was a big celebration for us as a historical society.
I bet it was. And we'll talk some more about that as we move along. What question are you most often asked?
Ooh, what question am I most often
about the
asked?
County, I mean.
Yeah. Probably how tourism started. That's usually a big one. That one, and then how the county got its name. Those are probably my top two questions that I get.
Okay, well, let's talk about the name part of it. How did Door County get its name?
So this is kind of debated amongst local historians. So the generally accepted version is that we had two First Nations tribes up here. We had the Potawatomi and then the Winnebago. And Potawatomi have been known to mostly live on Washington Island, a few settlements on Detroit Island. And then the Winnebago were supposedly on the mainland. So that would be today in the Gills Rock, Ellison Bay area.
Yeah.
And the story goes that the Potawatomi were upset that the Winnebago were up in their hunting grounds on the mainland. And so the Potawatomi sent a flotilla of warriors over to kick the Winnebago out of their territory. And the Winnebago had captured three braves from the Potawatomi tribe and basically set a trap to divert the Potawatomi flotilla so that they crashed onto the rocks instead of being able to land safely at their original destination. And the story goes that all of the Potawatomi warriors drowned, and that is how we got the name Death's Door.
Death's Door. Yeah, there's a couple of different stories about it, isn't it? I mean, it's a place where a lot of ships and boats had problems.
Yes. Yep. Stories of shipwrecks are certainly also part of kind of the lore of how Death's Door got its name. The Potawatomi Winnebago story is first mentioned in H.R. Holland's book, History of Door County, The County Beautiful. And that is the one that is kind of taken off, at least locally, for how we got that name.
Well, so what role does the history of, this is a big question here, what role does the history of Door County play in the state's overall history, do you think?
Yeah, that is a big question. So we were kind of the epicenter of cherry growth, of course, and we were also a huge part of the rebuilding of Chicago after the Great Chicago Fire, and we were also a big contributor to the growth of Milwaukee. So when the settlers kind of first arrived in this area, there was a lot of old growth timber, certainly not virgin growth, but old growth. And those trees were cut, they were harvested, and then many settlers used those to turn into shingles. And so the shingles would be then shipped to Milwaukee or to Chicago to really grow those two cities. We were also known to harvest lime up here, and that was also used to go down to Milwaukee and Chicago. And then, of course, we were used as a fishing ground, and all of our commercial fishermen would pack up their catches in barrels of salt and ship them south. And so we really kind of were a provider, I guess, if you will, of a lot of materials for Milwaukee in particular.
Yeah, for sure. That's an interesting story. The Potawatomi and the Menominee Winnebago are two of the several Native American tribes that occupied Door County, I think, before the arrival of white people.
But, yes.
And just sort of an ideal place? Why?
So it was ideal. It's generally accepted that First Nations during the kind of pre-settler era were nomadic in that they traveled and moved around based on the weather. And so Door County was an ideal spot. Of course, it's great in the summer. And then in the winter, they were able to continue their movement further south. The Confederacy, the Illinois Confederacy, was also a place that First Nations tribes would head to in the winter, go a little further south. And it was just a good fertile place for Native Americans to occupy. Of course, they had plenty of fishing. They had really great farming land, and they were able to kind of travel freely amongst all of the settlements that they had because we're fairly accessible by water.
Yeah. What do you think their influence, let me put it a different way. What's the influence of Native American tribes in Door County today, do you think?
Well, a lot of town names have come from Native American monikers that they had called kind of their settlements. And then it's pretty easy to determine where, I guess, easy in quotes, a lot of white settlers, of course, went into Native American settlements because they had identified the areas that are best for a community, right? So Native Americans had already established themselves near waterways, near fertile ground for farming. And so a lot of our communities are really based around where the Native Americans would have been when white settlers first arrived in Door County.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that Jean Nicolet and Father Marquette, they're said to have passed through Door County. What value did the French see in the area?
So we were seen as a hotspot for fur trade. We were very heavily used by fur traders. They would trade, of course, a lot with Native Americans for furs, and then French trappers would be up here themselves to get, you know, furs were in high demand. They were very expensive at the time. So this was a really great spot for the French to come and kind of get a significant revenue from our natural resources.
Randy called, but he couldn't stay on, but he was wondering if you know anything about the history of Europe Lake.
Europe Lake. We know a little bit. It was originally, it had an original name. I think it was originally like Lily Lake or North Lake. And it was renamed by a captain who kind of found it, I guess, more or less.
And refound
he,
it.
Yeah, refound it, and he named it Europe Lake, as far as I know.
I'm trying to think of where it's located in the county. Is it?
It is a little it's more in the Ellison Bay area.
Okay.
A little further north.
Sharon in Appleton emailed to ask which came first, the state parks or tourism?
Good question. I would... State parks, technically, in Door County in particular. Tourism, it depends. It kind of depends on how you want to define tourism, if you're referring to tourism as it is known today. Tourism, like it is today, really started in 1969. The very first tourists, like people who would come up on the Goodrich steamer lines, that started in the late 1800s. So it really kind of depends on how you want to define tourism.
Okay, and in 1969, why was that a pivotal time?
That is when National Geographic released their profile on on Door County, and so that is really when things started to pick up.
I remember that. Betty, our Bailey Kepsel, our guest today, executive director of the Door County Historical Society. Take a look at the history of Door County with Bailey today, and I hope you'll join in. We've already had a few questions. What about you? If you have a question or maybe an experience to share in Door County, I'd love to hear from you. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today for this section. Aubrey Ralph, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at the history of Door County right now with our guest, Bailey Kepsel, executive director of the Door County Historical Society. Questions or maybe experiences to share? Have you spent any time around the lighthouses or maybe the parks of the county or looking at the kind of the neat architecture of some of the buildings, particularly some of the barns? Love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. The first white residents of Door County were Increase and Mary Chaflin, I think that's pronounced right.
Claflin, yes.
Claflin? Oh, yes. Okay. It seemed like a weird spelling, so Claflin. So yes. How did the early settlers make a living in Door County, the early white settlers, I should say?
So Increase Claflin was kind of did what Increase wanted to do. he was a horse breeder. Was actually his trade when he lived in Green Bay. And he moved to the Little Sturgeon area, that's what we know it as now. And he was more or less a farmer. He, of course, would have participated in some of the logging activities that he would have had to do to clear his land. But for the most part, Increase and his family just kind of lived up here. They you know, weren't known for a specific trade. They just kind of did a little bit of everything in order to survive and keep living in the county.
And what was the first settlement, or where was it, and what was it called?
Well, certainly the area where Increase was, that is what we kind of consider the first permanent settlement.
Okay.
And then, again, this is kind of up for debate. There were several fishing settlements in on Rock Island and Washington Island, and those were seasonal. But they were up there arguably before Increase was. And from there, then Bailey's Harbor is one of the oldest, as is Fish Creek.
Yeah, it's two of the older places for sure. You know, here's a total aside. I was thinking about the name Increase. Mm-hmm. And there's and the other increase that I can think of is Increase Lapham. But I always wondered, what was the origin of that name?
So Increase Claflin, at least, is Irish.
Okay.
And that is, I guess, as much as I know of him, he came from. he came from Ireland. We do know that he fought in the War of 1812, and then his father fought in the American Revolution.
Oh, okay. So yeah. a long history here, for sure. Well, I'm thinking about, you know, you can't hardly not think about Door County without thinking about cherries, and you did mention cherries in passing, and it's really famous for its cherries. I think it's one of the top, at least was, maybe still is, one of the top cherry-producing regions in the world. And it's got an interesting history. Talk about the history of cherries and how they came to be in Door County.
Yeah, so the first fruit that was grown up here were actually pears. And Joseph Zettel is the one that first started experimenting with fruit orchards. And so he started with pears and apples, and then he eventually found that cherries really grew well up here, did a lot better than pears and apples. And so he started the first fruit orchards and was able to, I guess, inspire local farmers to continue growing from there.
And it was it's something to do with the land itself, that the trees do well. Is it drainage, or I can't remember exactly what it was?
Yes, so we have really rocky, earthy soil, and that provides the ideal drainage for fruit trees. And then, of course, the lake effect from Lake Michigan kind of gives a cushion against really severe weather, kind of protects the trees a little bit.
Yeah, and I suppose it delays frost, that sort of thing. You know, the water's warm, so, you know, late summer, so you're going to get a late frost. And that would make a difference, I think. Well, one of the fun things I've done with my family members is visit lighthouses there.
Yes.
And the Eagle Bluff Lighthouse, really cool place. that's been there, what, how many, 100 and some years?
Yeah, we were built in 1868, so 154 years.
Wow. And you, the Dane County Historical Society, manages the museum there. I've been to that museum.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we care for Eagle Bluff Lighthouse. We've been there since 1960. We've been partners with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we restored the house and have been taking care of it ever since. And now we're looking at doing another capital restoration campaign to give it some more love and make sure it's around for at least another 154 years.
Yeah. What role did the lighthouse play in settlement and maybe the economic development of the peninsula?
So our lighthouse in particular was built because the bluff that it's on overlooks the Strawberry Channel, and the Strawberry Channel was used as a shortcut for ships coming from the north to get to Green Bay. And it's very rocky water that's kind of deceptive, and that's, of course, why they needed a lighthouse. And so those ships would be carrying iron ore, they would be carrying lumber, and they'd also would be carrying people to come up here to continue growing the Door County population. And then again, the iron ore and the lumber that was heading towards Green Bay that contributed to the overall growth of our region in general.
Yeah, and of course the lighthouses had to have keepers or people right there. What do you know about the families?
So the family at Eagle Bluff, we had three keepers over our time as a manned lighthouse, And the one that we focus on is the Duquan family. William was the keeper. Julia was his wife. And they had seven sons that lived there with them. And we always like to point out that Door County lighthouses aren't really as isolated as most people kind of think of lighthouses. You know, if you're kind of off the coast of New York or off the coast of Florida, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it's really you and your family. And in Door County, we didn't have that. We were able to access a lot of surrounding communities. Eagle Bluff, for example, you know, is right between Ephraim and Fish Creek. Kena Island is right by Bailey's Harbor. Chambers Island is just across the water from Fish Creek. We were really able to get around and socialize, which is great because that gives us some more social history of the lightkeepers and their families than we maybe would have had otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the house and thinking of William and Julia with seven kids. and sons, all sons.
Yes. And not to make matters worse, as the boys would marry, they would move in there with their wives. Because, of course, you couldn't put up a house in 6 months like you maybe could today. So the boys would live in the lighthouse with their families while they waited for their own homes to be built.
Well, I tell you what, you must have had a... You had to really be able to get along if you were.
Yeah.
That is not the largest home I've ever seen. And to have 9 or 11 or 13 or however many people were in there at one time, it must have been.
Yep.
It must have been a crazy, crazy time. What were they like? Were the keepers? Do we know anything about their, I mean, were they... Well, they weren't loners, that's for sure,
mm-hmm.
with a family of seven children, seven sons. But what were they like?
So we know that William, the lightkeeper, the father, was a bit of a jokester. He did not take his time very seriously, I guess you could say. He really loved pulling pranks on Julia. And he was also a terrible record keeper. That's part of your duties as a lighthouse keeper. He was very bad at that part of his job. And then the boys, we know, as you can expect, were fairly rambunctious as they were growing up at the lighthouse. And a big part of that was because they were Door County's first and maybe only boy band. they each knew how to play an instrument, and so they formed a band and were the hot group for playing parties or dances or weddings, whatever you would maybe need music for. You probably had the Duquan boys. And they very famously did not get along with the family from Kena Island, who also had seven sons. And so the boys would have a rumble once in a while where they got into some disagreements and decided to have a fight.
Oh, man. Oh my goodness. So did they, I may have missed it. They played instruments and.
Yes. Everyone played something different. So, we have two original instruments, at the lighthouse that the family was able to donate. We have Walter's guitar, and Walter was the youngest son. And then we also have, the piano, which was played by Charles. And the story about the piano goes that William wanted to spoil his wife and sons, and so he ordered a very expensive Chickering piano. And the first one that he ordered could not get into the lighthouse. He had to send it back, and he ordered a different model and brought that one in. And that one was successful because its legs came off. So the legs were able to screw off. They were able to hoist it through a window. And then the really crazy story about that piano is that anytime the boys had a show, they would screw the legs off of its panel, lift it back out the window, and they would take it with them.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, that's a great story. Oh, we've had some problems with our phones, our sticking. We keep losing lines. But Joe in Madison is on, so let's go there. Joe, hi. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Actually, I'm Joe in Franklin.
Oh, sorry.
But that's okay. My grandmother was born in Door County in 1890. And my family, they're Schramms. They lived out on Double E outside mm-hmm. of Bailey's Harbor. If you go into Bailey's Harbor, the Bailey's Harbor Fish Market and Grill was originally owned by my great uncle, August Schramm. And if you look up on top where they put the names on buildings, it's A. Schramm. It's right up there. Me and my family, we go up to Door County every year for a week. We always stay in Egg Harbor. And it's just a beautiful place. Like you said, it's the Cape Cod of the Midwest. And we love it. We have a great time every year up there. And the Schramm family, I've got relatives scattered all over the place up there. They had 12 children. The farm is still out there on Double E. It's not in the family anymore. But I just can't say enough good things about Door County. It's a wonderful to have it as part of Wisconsin.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate your call on that. You know, is this the kind of thing, the stories that Joe's telling, is this... does this become useful, or stories like this become useful to the Door County Historical Society?
Oh, absolutely. And that's been a big push that we've been trying to make, and especially during COVID, that kind of really prompted just because we weren't able to do, any of our typical programming. So a lot of the outreach that we did was online, asking for people to submit stories like that because we need them, right? We need them recorded. And a lot of stories of Door County history or a lot of memories are not written down. And it's very important to us that we have that for the future. And because you can get some really good, family stories from people just kind of talking about their time here in Door County. So any story like that, we love to hear it. We love to record it, get the information down so that we have that for the future.
Yeah. So how do you get people to do that? Do you just, do you find printed materials? But if not printed materials, somebody like Joe might sit down, or one of his relatives might just sit down and talk to you or record an interview?
Yes. Yep, exactly. So we have, there are a few community members that we have talked to that are very interested in Door County history, so they're pretty easy to get to sit down and kind of chat with. And it's just always reminding people, if you have a good memory or if you have a story or anything, call us. If you don't want your name associated with whatever story it is that you're telling, that's totally fine. We can just write it down without a name.
Oh, so, and your phone number, I guess it would be right on the website.
Yes. Yep, it is 421-2332.
421, what'd you say?
421-332?
2332.
2332.
Mm-hmm. And your website is?
DoorCountyHistoricalSociety.org.
DoorCountyHistoricalSociety.org. Well, Joe, maybe you'll be inspired to give a call over there and or get some of your relatives to call in and maybe record some remembrances. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. We have Mary Ann in Milwaukee. Let's see if we can get Mary Ann in Milwaukee online here.
Hi, this is Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann.
I was wondering if your guest knows where Door County sour cherries might be sold in the grocery stores in Milwaukee?
Hmm.
Ooh, that's a good question. I am not sure. I think the only, off the top of my head, I think Sequest and Woods Orchard might distribute that far south, but I'm not sure. And I would definitely check any sort of local Wisconsin store, Piggly Wiggly festivals. I'm not sure if they go that far, far south, but those would be the spots that I would try.
And is there some sort of organization of cherry growers there in the county, Bailey, that you know of? Maybe an online they could check?
Yeah, definitely check online with Sequist. I know Sequist is pretty good about shipping their products out. I'm not sure if they'll ship frozen, but that's definitely the orchard to check with. In terms of like a fruit growers co-op, that's actually regional. So that is Wisconsin and Michigan are part of the fruit growers co-op now.
So the Wisconsin and Michigan Fruit Growers Cooperative, they probably have some, they may have some information online.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Well, Marianne, thank you so much for calling. You know, another way you could do it is just take a little trip up to Door County.
Absolutely.
I was just up there myself with my daughter, and we had a marvelous time there. And you can pick your own or just buy them after somebody else has picked them. I remember getting a batch of cherries and bringing them back, and some good friends of mine, Mike and Seb Hempel, made a cherry, what was it called? Bounce. Cherry Bounce.
Oh, yeah.
They made, I brought back enough cherries, so they made some for me, too. And it was really, really good.
And yes, it gets stronger the longer you leave it.
Yeah. So just for those who aren't familiar, it involves cherries. You pit them and everything, and they go into a jar. And then into the jar as well goes brandy, usually, I think, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you let it marinate. Let's put it that way. You let it marinate. So, you know what? I almost forgot about Heritage Village. The Door County Historical Society manages the Heritage Village at Big Creek.
Yep, and
And tell us what we can expect to see if we visit there. And where is it located near?
So Heritage Village is located near the southernmost roundabout, kind of where the YMCA is in Sturgeon Bay. And it is just a little collection of nine buildings that kind of tell the story of Door County's development. So we've got a general store, one-room schoolhouse, a granary, a scale model of the Ephraim Moravian Chapel. We have a commercial fishing house. And then a couple of log cabins to show kind of the residential part of what Door County living was like in the mid to late 1800s.
And I've got to admit that I haven't been there, but I went online and looked at the website for it, and the buildings look really cool, and I want to get in there and take a look at what's inside of them. Next time I'm up there, that's exactly what we're going to do, my daughter and I can tell you that. I can tell you that for free. And it's that must have been quite a process to establish that village, because some of those buildings had to be hauled in from elsewhere.
Yes. So the first building, the Cole Fish House, was moved in 1993. And the other buildings have followed suit. The schoolhouse was moved in 96. And then the log cabins were disassembled and reassembled on site in the early 2000s.
Oh, man. Mark and Sister Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a great, great uncle, Adolph Razor, who used to have the lumber yard in Sister Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did just about everything. We had, you know, besides the lumber business, they shipped out lumber, and they brought in coal to sell to the locals to heat their homes. And then they had a granary in the same area where the lumber yard was. Well, Adolf Fraser was the first village president of the village of Sister Bay, and he was also the fire chief.
Oh. Adolf. Yeah. And Razor is spelled like R-A-Z-O-R?
Yes.
R-A-Z-O-R. So, Bailey, are you familiar with Adolf Razor?
I am. That, I believe, is the house near what used to be the Four Seasons. I think that is now just a general park area alongside the condos. Yes, that is an old house, I think, is currently looking at being redeveloped, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, hopefully it'll, maybe the house will get moved if they're going to if it's going to be restored, that'd be okay too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So, Mark, if you got some stories, you should go online to the website for the Door County Historical Society, and you can record some remembrances or have some family members do it, because that sounds like a pretty cool place, and it must have been a real hub of activity, for sure. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here we are running out of time. What are your goals now down the road here, Bailey, for the Historical Society?
Well, we are certainly looking to expand our educational outreach in the county, and then hopefully draw in a few more tourists. And then we would certainly like to reach a couple of different demographics. Door County's average age, of course, is on the older side. We'd like to start to draw in those young families and get young people interested in history, because it can be a really great time. You can learn some kind of weird stories about your community.
Well, you've got quite a few members. How do people sign up?
Yeah, the easiest way is to head to our website, DoorCountyHistoricalSociety.org, and there's a link there to become a member, and you can do it right online.
Well, it's been fun, Bailey, talking with you today. I appreciate your time very much, and kind of a fun history of Door County, and we'll look for perhaps another visit. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
There we go. We had Bailey Kepsel as our guest here, Executive Director of the Door County Historical Society. Coming up, we're going to stay in Door County and talk about the latest and last book in the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series with the author, Patricia Skolka. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.